historic Bangor Opera House to help you ring in a happy new year. Get your tickets at 942-3333 and PenobscotTheater.org. We'll see you at the theater.
Oh my goodness, back on Downtown Tuesday. Rich Kimball here with you. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. We salute Eric Meehan, who joins us on the telephone line. Hello there, Eric.
Hello. Oh, so good. I say this every week. I got to stop picking music I just want to listen to then.
I know. I'm getting fired up, though, just listening to that opening.
It gets you ready, right?
Yes.
Well, have you heard the news? The juice is loose, Richard.
I heard that just before we went on the air on CBS News. Yeah, boy, justice prevails.
Well, just in time, sure. A couple of these teams headed for the playoffs needs is someone on their practice squad. Healthy 74.
I saw somebody before the Patriots game. Somebody got a picture of a bar in Buffalo with a guy sitting at the bar pregame wearing his O.J. Simpson shirt. That's loyalty.
I mean, you know, I was thinking today, not that this is a football thing or a sports thing, sports segment, but it's always amused me what those in the NFL are willing to forgive and what they're not. And I've firmly determined it's absolutely based on the individual character. Because, of course, you know, they're talking like, well, you know, this person should lose their job and never work again because he got photographed dancing, you know, a girl dancing near him. And other people literally have committed homicide. And they're like, yeah, but the record.
Yes. Oh, and that's the key, right? If you're, you know, if you're Urban Meyer and you can't win and your team hates you, very, very short leash. But if you rush for 2,000 yards, it's amazing what you can do.
I mean, and O.J. was hilarious in the movies. You know, I don't know. It's one of the strangest things I've ever come across. And I mean, we do that in general society. We're like, well, this person's terrible, but and this person's terrible, so let's condemn them. But man, it's just so funny. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, people lock up your daughters. The juice is out. I'm sure he'll find himself a nice controversy to get himself.
Well, he's busy. He's still looking for the real killers.
That's right. Well, someday we'll find them. Speaking of killers and all other sorts of criminals, we're heading to Australia.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
As everyone knows, Australia is entirely peopled with criminals, which is why I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. Yeah, no, this is the thing. So Australian wine obviously has certain images in people's minds, especially if you're of a certain age. But obviously it began as a penal colony. The first vines were brought over in 1788 via another one of our oldest wine countries that we think of, and this country is fairly new, that being South Africa, the Cape of Good Hope. They brought clippings and established vineyards. Mostly, you know, when we think of the sort of kidney bean-shaped continent in the middle of the ocean, the top half, very, very hot. It doesn't do viticulture. So you can sort of disregard all of that. It's mostly around the southern coastal areas, and really, I mean, right on the coast. You need the cooling winds that come up from the south, and without those, you really could not sustain much. And even as it is, there's a tremendous amount of irrigation and other such things necessary. There are people practicing dry farming, and we can talk about that in a bit, but it is... It's a tough place to be, which is probably why it was a penal colony. just off the top of my head, you do see some plantings in the western side around Perth. That's where the Margaret River appellation is of note. We have had some Margaret River wines in the store up here in Maine, so maybe you've seen those. It's really around Adelaide and then Melbourne to the south of that, so really sort of south central and eastern, where you see Barossa, which everybody kind of knows, Eden Valley, Coonawarra, etc. And then more inland from there, you see areas that are being developed. They were kind of mass production areas, and they're sort of slowly being taken back as those have failed. Again, we'll talk about that a little bit. So, obviously, as I was mentioning, I mean, Australia has a certain stigma, and I think that's deserved. not all of it, but a lot of it. It was sort of, it seemed like a very capitalistic venture when I was getting into the wine industry. It was really, I remember in probably 2007, 2008, 2009, I had not been in the wine industry that long at that point, when I found out that Yellowtail had only been around since 2001. I was like, you're kidding. Burst onto the scene with such ferocity that it both enveloped us and then destroyed our love for the whole thing. And of course, it also made us think that they only grow just Shiraz. So in point of fact, there is wine produced in every state, but as I said, largely down towards the southern part, with over 60 designated wine regions. They're not all growing Shiraz for Yellowtail. But that was a big part of that inland area, the riverland, etc., that I was talking about, that they did. But the major varietals besides Shiraz are, they do a lot of the Bordelaise varietals, right? So, Cabernet Sauvignon grows very, very well there. We've had some, I've had some Merlot from there, which is quite nice. The grape Semillon, which is also Bordelaise, it is the grape that you find vinified with late harvest and botrytis, which is the that form of rot we call noble rot. That is found in Sauternes in Bordeaux, and in a much, much lesser degree found produced still and dry in Australia. It has really taken hold in a beautiful way. Still produced dry, but it has so much more unctuousness by and large down there because of the vastly different climatic conditions. I mean, just much drier. Bordeaux is fairly sort of mid-Atlantic in terms of its dampness and temperatures and stuff. Very much different down there, so it gets to really sort of take on this unbelievable ripeness. Chardonnay, for sure, because Chardonnay grows pretty much freaking everywhere. And let's be honest, if you want to make money, you plant Chardonnay. Sauvignon Blanc, as I was saying, the Margaret River over towards Perth, beautiful Sauvignon Blanc, as well as Rieslings. Riesling also shining in places like the Clare Valley, which again is more towards Adelaide. There are some really nice cooler weather regions in Australia, because of course, you know, your Shirazes, etc., they tend to be produced, not that the grape Shiraz, which I will also remind people is the same grape Syrah, simply, basically different hemispheres call it different things, but that's some for another time. But basically, you can have very beautiful, cool weather Syrah and Shiraz, but of course, the stuff that they were trying to make for the American market, which again sort of exhausted the palate after a while, was that much fuller, richer style. But in inland a little bit, as I said, they're growing these cooler weather varietals that are really, really shining beautifully. Also, the Pinot family now, which again, I will remind people, you know, Burgundy, Alsace, places like that, and in, you know, California, like Carneros, so very cool climate areas. You're seeing Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir, etc. So it's developing. People are starting to, you know, find other places in Australia to do what I guess we'd assume are non-Australian things, at least how we view them. So, like I was saying, it's very capitalistic. They've had several problems with wine gluts, essentially. 1980s, they had to pay people to rip up their vines because they were just overproducing and making stuff. They literally had to do the same thing in 2004 and 2005. And again, it's no coincidence that when I was sort of like well exhausted by them in 2008 and such, that it kind of blew my mind that it was that young a product that they produced and overproduced so much that within a few years, the government had to be like, you guys got to stop. This isn't, you're taking up, you know, land for other crops. You're taking up water that we need for other things. So, and the profits went away, you know? So it's kind of, it's what I call tail fatigue. but there was a, I think there was really amongst even, you know, the wine Cognoscetti that knew the kind of cool little things, it wore itself. It was like that. Australia was like that guest at the party. You're like, all right, man, you got to go home. We're, you know, yeah, you're fun for like an hour. So it's really been in a tailspin by the tail fatigue, as it were. That was unintentional. since then, and so it's only now that really kind of neat, unique small winemakers are getting in, and importers are having the nerve to go back and bring stuff back and say, hey, remember Australia? Don't. forget what you know. Try this stuff. And you're seeing, you know, what might be the dawn of something really cool. We all hope so, because, you know, it would be good for them. Obviously, they had those horrible fires, which hurt the economy a lot. But if there's, you know, one thing that actually can survive fires fairly well, it's fine. So hopefully that part of the industry does okay. I'm sure I'm out of time. Just want to say thank you to everybody for being cool with the masking in the stores. All of us, not just downtown Bangor Wine and Cheese, but all of downtown, we really appreciate it. And please do frequent all of your favorite local downtown stores this holiday season. Just not even 2 weeks left until Christmas, so we all look forward to seeing you. There's going to be carolers and brass and stuff this Saturday, so come on downtown and enjoy it. I'd encourage you to.
Well, we're hoping for good weather for these next 2 weeks to get people out and about and get downtown where they need to be. Do the right thing, people.
That's do the right thing on several levels. And I know y'all will, because people who listen to this program, they know better. Yeah, they know how to do it.
We got good people here. Eric, thank you. As always, be well, and we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
Yes, it'll be a very frenetic visit. I'm sure I'll be busy, 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 but I will step out of the maelstrom to talk with you all.
We always appreciate it. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Be well.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, every Tuesday afternoon right here on Downtown.